speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome on this May 30th, 2019. I'm David Knight, your host. Joining us today, we'll have Gerald Celente as well as Leo Zagami. We're going to have Leo Zagami break down his viewpoint from inside Europe as to what happened with the European elections over the weekend, the results that came out over the weekend. So we're going to take a look at that. We're going to take a look at what is going on with the Mueller investigation, as I tweeted out. Nothing new, nothing true. Move on. Just move on. That's all you need to know. But I'll spend a little bit of time on it. I'm not going to spend the whole program on it like you'll hear most of the liberal and conservative commentators, news coverage. It's just going to be focused around the clock, again, on Mueller, Mueller, Mueller. Look, folks, Washington is a lost cause, in my opinion. I think we need to focus on how this affects us at the individual level. We're going to have to take the liberty back, and we're going to do it at the local level. And you need to understand what the threats are to you as an individual, the threats to your liberty. Yes, there are national and international issues, and we are going to be talking about Bilderberg a little bit today. I meant to talk about it earlier this week, but it hadn't started until today. And so I'll give you my perspective on having been there in the past and what I think the guest attendees signify there as we look at that. But I want to begin with what happened yesterday with a man setting himself on fire nearby. Now, this is really horrific. And I don't mean to make, I didn't mean, when I put out a comment on Twitter, I didn't mean to mock this guy doing it, but he did it to himself. It wasn't that somebody did that to him. I don't know why he did it. As a matter of fact, I still haven't seen any explanation as to why he set himself on fire. He hasn't been publicly identified. He hasn't even been officially associated with a protest that was going on there. But I did tweet out because it happened right after Mueller gave his statement. And I thought, well, that's it. It's done. I really didn't think the CNN and MSNBC would try to be able to keep this thing going. I mean, basically, Mueller had burned down his own investigation. And so I'm looking at this and thinking, well, let's see, we've got Brian Stelter, we've got Oliver Darcy, we've got Joe Scarborough. All those guys ought to be on suicide watch, right? I mean, they're all burning down their news organizations, pushing this conspiracy theory for which there is no evidence, no support. And, of course, I could have also put out, maybe it was Mueller himself. Maybe as he was burning down this two-year fraud of an investigation, maybe he accidentally caught himself on fire. Who knows? But nevertheless, not to make fun of that. But, you know, one of the issues that really hasn't been covered the entire time that it happened. We had Asia Bibi. You want to talk about people who are not, that we completely ignore here in the United States. Asia Bibi in Pakistan, a Christian woman under death sentence for a decade because she had the audacity to drink from a well. And the women that she was working with in the field accused her of blasphemy because she drank from the same well that the Muslims are doing. And when the Supreme Court finally overturned her death penalty, you had Pakistani mobs rioting and burning many, many cities across Pakistan. As a matter of fact, all of the major cities across Pakistan. So as everybody is looking at this, and this is headline news about a guy setting himself on fire in protest of something at the White House. Again, we still don't know exactly. As you see that happening, nobody is talking about the fact that a Pakistani mob, going back in 2014, burned a Christian husband and wife. The wife was pregnant at the time. Burned them to death because they accused them of incinerating some pages from the Quran, whether or not that was true. And we just had the Pakistani court overturn the death penalty for a couple of those who burned a man and his pregnant wife to death, a Christian man. Oh, what? We don't care about that, right? Not in America. We didn't do anything for Asia Bibi here.
In a world of deceit, Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome on this Thursday, May the 30th, year of our Lord 2019. I'm David Knight, your host. We're going to take a look at, briefly, at what Mueller said yesterday. We played a little bit of the clip yesterday as we were ending the show. He did it just as the show was ending. I'm going to take a look at some of the reactions because I'm quite frankly amazed at some of the reactions. I kind of jokingly tweeted out as the person set himself on fire at the White House. I said maybe that was Mueller as he was burning down his investigation. He caught fire. Maybe it was some of the commentators at CNN and MSNBC who are burning down their networks. Maybe they caught fire. Who knows? Or in protest of this. I don't know. Maybe they don't have anything to live for. Maybe they do. I don't know. But we see a lot of news about that particular event, and yet there is no coverage of two people who've been let off of death row, as we see that years, 5 years after you had a mob. As a matter of fact, initially, you had 103 people charged with murder because this man set fire to himself in Pakistan. Two people because they were Christians. A man and his pregnant wife were burned by a mob of 4,000 people. 103 of them were originally charged with murder. Ultimately, everybody was let off. There's 8 people in prison. There are 5 people who were charged with murder only. And after the 103 that were initially there. And of those 5, now 2 of them have been let loose. No talk about that in the mainstream media. As a matter of fact, we were just being lectured, I think, by Ilhan Omar, speaking ill of people in America because they're people of faith, Christians, you know. And of course, you know, remember, Ilhan Omar said herself that she brings a foreigner's perspective to Congress. Yes. Yes. So let's get her foreigner's perspective for the intolerance of religion. Here's Ilhan.
I am frustrated every single time I hear people speaking about their faith and pushing that onto other people.
She says that she wears her hijab.
We know those so-called religious politicians, when it comes to their life, their choices, they want to talk about freedom. But when it comes to other people's lives and other people's choices, they want to talk about religion.
Unbelievable hypocrisy, she says, as she lectures Americans about tolerating religion and trying to shut down free speech. This is a woman who demanded that she be allowed to wear her religious covering in Congress, and they passed a law to let her do that. Never allowed that before. And so Pelosi kowtowed to her. Oh, yeah, don't talk to me about your religious convictions. Don't talk to me about that. It's only my religious convictions that matter, and that's what we see in Pakistan. As I said, I think it's a shame that Asia Bibi, who was running for her life, was never offered asylum here in the United States by the Trump White House. She eventually went to Canada. And this is a woman who was given a death sentence, was 10 years on death row, eventually let go by the Supreme Court there. They had riots in every major town in Pakistan, burning and looting and rioting because she was not going to be executed for blasphemy because she drank from the same well as Muslim women. And now we have a case, as I was saying just before we went to break at the top of the hour, 2 members of a Pakistani mob that incinerated this guy in, you know, in the White House. Yeah, it was horrific, but he did it to himself. These people were incinerated because of the hateful belief of these Muslims. Incinerated a Christian couple and their unborn child because they thought the couple had disrespected a Quran. 2 of the 5 people that were ultimately charged with the death sentence, even though initially 103 people were charged with murder, they kept whittling it down to now they only had 5, and now 2 of those 5 have been let go. The couple, Shahzad and Shama, mother of 3, who was pregnant at the time with her 4th child, were targeted by an infuriated mob because Muslims were under the mistaken impression that they had burned pages of the Quran. They didn't actually do it, even. The Muslims abducted the Christians, beat them, and threw them alive into a fiery brick kiln, incinerating them. Shahzad and his wife and his parents worked at a kiln for more than a decade. It was a brick kiln. At the time, Shama, while cleaning her house, found some papers that belonged to her father-in-law, who had died a week before. She gathered all the papers. Some of the papers were printed in Arabic. She was illiterate and did not know whether those papers contained anything of a religious nature. She burned all of them together, which is a common way of disposing of paper. Her Muslim neighbors saw her burning the papers. They informed the brick kiln's owner's son that she had burned the Quran, assuming that because she's a Christian and she's burning paper, therefore she's burning the Quran. The owner's son called the husband and wife into his office, locked them inside, and beat them. He beat the man, beat the pregnant woman. A local fruit vendor found out about this, called the imam of the mosque, who sent out a message to the adjacent villages. They got out of six or seven villages, they got a mob of about 4,000 Muslims who, again, beat the couple and then threw them alive into the burning kiln. So again, initially, out of those 4,000 people, you had 103 people charged with murder. Now 90 were acquitted, and now of the five men who were acquitted and sentenced to death, they have now been released. No concern about that. No reporting of that in the mainstream press here in America. By the way, that was a report from WND. And so we go back to the man who set himself on fire. What was happening at the White House at the time? There was a transgender rights rally outside the White House. And when the rally was shut down, evidently, I'm not sure if this was at the rally or another location in the White House, because the left-wing groups went ballistic on social media. How dare these Secret Service agents squash this rally? Squashing the rally is beyond pale, they said. And yet they found out later that it was because a man was on fire. So I'm assuming that he wasn't necessarily there with the rally, or he had gone to another, left the rally and gone over there. They don't know who he is yet, as far as what I'd seen, or if he was affiliated with the protest. But of course, the transgender rights issue, they are victims, right? Just take a look at this. We've got yet another situation where you've got a student athlete, a transgender woman, quote unquote, a biological man, competed as a man previously, and now he has won an NCAA Women's Track National Championship this last Saturday, beat the eight-woman field in the women's 400-meter hurdles by more than a second. By more than a second. Like I was saying the other day, why is this allowed when we don't allow Lance Armstrong to compete? Because he was doping with something. Well, this guy is doping with testosterone and yet competing as a woman. Maybe Gwyneth Paltrow, who is now going to launch a new podcast to lecture us on toxic masculinity. Do you think it's toxic masculinity, Gwyneth, for a person who is a biological male with testosterone to compete and blow away the field in women's track events and other powerlifting? We've seen this happen over and over again. Gwyneth Paltrow's new podcast is going to be called Goop Fellows. Goop Fellows. Kind of like Goodfellas. She spells it the same way, except you just take that D and just goes, whoo, kind of hanging limp there, right? That's what she's looking for. She's looking to get rid of all that masculinity. So it makes sense that she turned the D into a P. But yeah, is competing and beating all the women, is that toxic masculinity? What about this? Is it toxic masculinity when Chris Cuomo mocks a rape survivor who does a pro-Second Amendment commercial? This is a woman who was raped in college, and she puts out for the NRA, she puts out an ad talking about how that's not going to happen to her, not going to happen to her family, because she's taking measures to defend herself. And Chris Cuomo mocks her, says, only in America. That's right, Chris. Only in America do we have the right to keep and bear arms recognized by the government. Welcome back. We're going to take a look at Bilderberg coming up. And also what is happening to Julian Assange's reports that he is gravely ill in prison. I find that to be very, very concerning. Especially when we look at the overall picture of what's happening in this country. I'm very discouraged as to the direction that we are going. But let's take a look before we move on and talk about the Mueller report and talk about Bilderberg. Let's take a look again. Chris Cuomo, as I said, was mocking a rape survivor's pro-Second Amendment video, talking about the right of individuals to defend themselves. And in this particular case, this is a woman. I mean, we've got Gwyneth Paltrow lecturing us on toxic masculinity, while you have biological men sweeping sporting events. Nobody cares. They cared a great deal about Lance Armstrong, who was doping. But these people are doping on hormones because they are biological males. As I've said many times, a psychologist who studied this for decades, who got kicked off of social media because he came out, even though he was friendly to them. He said, look, I believe it's a mental disorder. I think we need to help these people. We need to pay for their transitioning operations and so forth. But only if they are 21 years old and have lived 2 to 3 years in the new identity that they want to identify with. And then I guess one of the things that really got them upset about it was he said, let's treat it as a legal fiction. If they do this, we will register it on legal documents, but we won't let them compete in sporting events. You know, that'd be toxic masculinity because they've got an unfair advantage, just like Lance Armstrong did, but they don't care about that. Gwyneth Paltrow, maybe she's edging, maybe she's edging for a sponsorship with Gillette. You know, Gillette's got that transition video about shaving and lecturing men yet again. That's where they go. First, they start talking about toxic masculinity. Then they start worshiping the transgender agenda. Maybe she wants them to sponsor her new podcast, Goop Fellows. Goop. You want to be a Goop Fellow? I can't think of anybody. Who wants that? Who wants to self-identify as that? Absolutely amazing. Anyway, let's take a look at Chris Cuomo comes back and says, only in America, after he sees this ad by the NRA. Let's play it.
I was a normal 20-year-old college student. When I moved into off-campus housing, they boasted that it was safe. Not a single incident since it had opened. I was the first. I woke up in the middle of the night, suffocating. Shut up, he said. Don't say a word. For the next 2 hours, I knew I was going to die, and there was nothing I could do. Now I'm a mother of two, and if that predator or anyone else tries to harm me or my family, they have to come through my firearm first. I will never be unarmed or utterly vulnerable ever again. The only reason I can say that is because the NRA fought for my rights before I ever knew that I needed them. I'm the National Rifle Association of America, and I'm freedom's safest place.
To which Chris Cuomo replied, only in America. He's very tired of people talking about their right of self-defense, and that's why he is self-immolating. That's why CNN is burning down. It's that kind of toxic masculinity. Or maybe we just say the toxicity of the left. You know, one of the things that I just before we get into the politics of Mueller, I thought this was kind of interesting. I've interviewed Phelim McAleer on the program several times. He wrote, along with his partner, a book about Kermit Gosnell, the abortionist. I think it's in Pennsylvania. I think it was Philadelphia, right? Kermit Gosnell, Philadelphia. Who is serving time in prison for murdering two babies that were full term, at least. They got him on two of those. And his negligence resulting in the death of a woman of color who was a migrant, and they couldn't get to her because of the narrow hallways and the narrow doorways in that filthy facility. And so if you talk about, as they are now, you know, you got Mississippi, or this is Missouri, I think it was, shutting down their last abortion clinic, and Planned Parenthood is very upset about that. The health inspectors there said, we've got some concerns about how this is being done, and we want to talk to the seven doctors because we've had some complaints about how this is being done. Well, they said, well, only two of those seven doctors actually work for Planned Parenthood. The other five are residents in training. And they refuse to talk to the health service. So the health service says, okay, then we're going to shut it down. And then they scream about women's health. So it was very important what we learned from Kermit Gosnell. And again, fellow McAleer did a great job of laying that out in the book. And then they had the movie that starred Dean Cain. And if you watch that movie, you realize that the statements made by the Virginia governor, Northam, about, yeah, we just put the baby, if the baby survives, you know, we just put the baby over there on the side and we let it die without helping it, without feeding it. We call that comfort care. And it was in the Gosnell trial that the pro-choice jurors were appalled when they heard an abortionist describe the difference between what Kermit Gosnell did, essentially snapping the neck of this baby boy that he said was so big he could walk to the bus station. He snapped the neck of the baby instead of putting it over there and letting it die, like Ralph Northam says. But as fellow McAleer pointed out when I interviewed him, he said that is the standard of care, comfort care, is being practiced in many states already. That's why Ralph Northam was so surprised at the outrage, because people didn't know this was happening. They kept that very quiet. The pro-choice jury was outraged, and that's why America is outraged over what's going on. But of course, you got a half dozen liberal states, the Northeast, California, Illinois, they said, we're going to fully embrace that. We're not going to have any restrictions at any time for any reason for abortion. They've gone full on to embrace this. Now, meanwhile, a fellow McAleer decided that he would put together a play. So he's done a play on, he did a book on Gosnell. He did a movie on Gosnell. Now he's doing a play called FBI Lovebirds Undercovers. And what this would do, it's actually a verbatim recital of the anti-Trump text messages sent between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. And it would star Dean Cain and Christy Swanson. They had this all put together. They were just going to get on stage in the small theater. They were going to read the text messages back and forth between Strzok and Page. And they were going to do it in D.C., and now they have canceled it. Why? Because of security threats. Here's maybe the irony. Maybe they couldn't get an insurance policy, you think? That was one of the key texts that was coming out of these two people. But yeah, they're going to burn the place down if you actually tell people what's going on back and forth. That's why they have burned down your free speech on social media. That's why they've tried to burn down InfoWars. Because we tell you exactly what these people are up to. And we're going to talk about that with Bilderberg. We're going to talk about that with Mueller when we come back. Stay with us.
Decoding the mainstream propaganda. This is The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. You know, we're talking about people self-immolating today. Or being set on fire by an angry Muslim mob in Pakistan. A man and his pregnant wife, after they beat them multiple times, a mob of 4,000. Pretty much everybody's been let go by the Pakistanis. We've got CNN, MSNBC continuing to burn themselves down, burn down their networks. I may be ready to about do that myself here with my comments on Jared Kushner and Bilderberg, because I'm disgusted with what's going on there. And I'm disgusted with what's going on with Julian Assange as well. But before we get to that, let's take a look at the disgusting stuff that everybody else is going to be talking about. And of course, that's the Mueller report. As I tweeted out, there was nothing new, there was nothing true. Nothing true about that. Yeah, the guy who tells us the truth about all this stuff, Julian Assange, they've got him in jail, rotting, dying in jail. That's the Trump administration. That's the Trump administration. But we got Robert De Niro out there begging Bob Mueller to speak out. The country needs to hear your voice, said Robert De Niro. your actual voice, because this is the report your country asked you to do. I don't remember doing that. I didn't ask him to do that. I think it was the people at Saturday Night Live. Now, you must give it authority and clarity without, if I may use the term, obstruction. You are the voice of the Mueller report, said De Niro, writing on the Hill. Let the country hear that voice. Well, we heard that voice yesterday, and I imagine we will hear the imagined voice of Bob Mueller on Saturday. This is my prediction. Saturday Night Live will have Robert De Niro reprise the role of Robert Mueller, and he will put the words into Bob Mueller's mouth that he wanted Bob Mueller to say that Bob Mueller did not say. Because they're twisting this, even as he said, nothing new, nothing true. He lied, as I played a little bit of that clip yesterday, continued to lie about Russian interference. Yeah, they got some ads on Facebook, so they overthrew the election. And I indicted some of those people in absentia. Maybe they'll try them in absentia. That's what we've become here in the United States. Who cares? Facebook, Google, Twitter were rigging the election. The entire platform was rigging the election to shadow ban discussions, to take people out. Look at what they did with a vengeance in the 2018 elections. And you're going to complain about some ads, even if that happened? And of course, nobody broke into the DNC emails to expose the truth about Hillary Clinton. That's the real issue. William Binney and the honest people who used to be part of the surveillance establishment, they have now been turned out because they can't go along with what they see. So it's always the good guys who either go to jail or who resign and become whistleblowers and are no longer a part of the establishment. The evil core remains, and that's what we've got there. The same people who have been spying illegally, unconstitutionally on Americans spied on the Trump campaign. End of story. But think about the difference between what Comey said in July of 2016 after Loretta Lynch met on the tarmac with Bill Clinton. And Comey said, Hillary Clinton committed felonies, but he's not going to do anything about it. Fast forward to yesterday, and you've got Bob Mueller saying, Trump didn't do anything wrong, but I think he needs to be impeached for obstruction of not doing anything wrong. Let me just repeat that. Hillary committed felonies, but Comey won't come after her. Trump and his people did nothing wrong. It was simply Democrat political tricks. He did nothing wrong. There is no collusion, no crimes, nothing. We investigated the man, not a crime, the man. And we didn't find the man guilty of anything. So let's impeach him for obstruction. What did he obstruct? Nothing. He didn't do anything. I mean, that's the insanity here. Just think about that. Just contrast Comey to Mueller. That's all that needs to be said about this, quite frankly. But again, he hinted that he wanted President Trump impeached. In any event, in this system, the way we discipline presidential excess is not left to federal prosecutors. So in other words, he's throwing that out. So you people need to impeach, right? Again, this is a man who investigated, just like Joseph Stalin said, bring me the man and I'll find the crime. Well, they brought the man to Mueller. He didn't find a crime. See, this is not how our system works, Mueller. We don't investigate people. We investigate crimes. And you don't exonerate somebody. You bring charges. And in the trial, they're either found guilty or not guilty. You're never found exonerated. I said that from the very beginning. First time we had the summary that was put out there by AG Barr. And everybody kept saying, well, he didn't pronounce him innocent. He didn't exonerate him and so forth. It's like, you don't do that. That's not how our system works. Yes, he would not be the one to do any prosecution or to indict a sitting president. Of course, that is impeachment. Impeachment is an indictment, and then the trial is in the Senate, and that's what they've been angling for all along, and they're still going there even though there was no crime. They're still going to go there. Contrast that to Hillary Clinton, who violated national security, the sacred, preeminent thing in America now, national security. Everything is sacrificed to national security. She violated it both in quantity and quality worse than anybody in our history. This Benedict Arnold, who committed multiple felonies, who arguably was responsible for the death of Chinese people who were working with the CIA, betrayed because of her unsecured server. Massive number of CIA agents. They basically just took out the whole network while Hillary Clinton's emails were every email that she sent and received is being copied to the Chinese government. And they took down the whole CIA network. No charges against Hillary Clinton, but they come after a Navy sailor because they took a picture of his bunk in a submarine. They said, well, that's born confidential. We didn't run it by anybody and have them put a classification on it. We said, you know that any picture of anything, you take a picture of the floor in a Navy sub, and that's born confidential, the lowest level. And yet Hillary Clinton said, well, you know, some of these things had stamps on them, but most of them didn't have stamps on them. If you're talking to the heads of state in foreign countries, it's born above top secret. It doesn't have to go through a classification process. But she didn't care about that anyway, because she still put stuff that was marked top secret on her server and let that get out. But even though it's felonies, we're not going to come after her. That's not our interest to do that. Their interest is to come after President Trump, even though he did nothing wrong. Jeffrey Wright, an actor, comes out and doubles down on this, just like Bob De Niro. He said, all right, so we understand that there's no principles, there's no ethics, moral, legal, constitutional, religious, spiritual, none. There's only power. And when we get the power, everybody else effing duck. Well, we understand. To the extent, we've already seen this, Jeffrey, to the extent that Pelosi and Nadler and Schiff, to the extent these people have power, that's all they care about. And so, yeah, everybody duck. That is the name of the game. Look at the press. CNN, Jim Acosta admits to grandstanding, claims that neutrality is useless in the Trump era, and yet they still pretend that CNN is neutral and objective. That's the biggest piece of hypocrisy, I think, that's taking them down, even more so than their obsession with coming after President Trump. We all see that, and yet they still try to maintain, in the face of that maniacal obsession to get President Trump to weaponize politics, they still try to maintain their neutrality. Finally, maybe they're going to try to resurrect CNN. Say, well, we're no longer neutral. We're going to be commentators. We're going to tell you what we think. And yet, Brett Baer on Fox News, well, this wasn't no collusion, no obstruction. It was not anywhere near as clear-cut as Attorney General Bill Barr said. In fact, it was almost the opposite. It was not clear. Absolutely nonsense, Baer. It is very clear. No news, nothing new, nothing true. Welcome back. We're going to have Gerald Celente join us at the bottom of the next hour. In the third hour, we're going to have Leo Zagami. I want to talk to Leo about updates from Europe, especially after the European elections. He knows some of the people who did well in the Nationalist Party there in Italy in those European elections. So we're going to get his take on what's going on in the European Union in the third hour. Before we get back to the news, I just want to remind you of our Memorial Day mega sales that we have extended here at InfoWarsStore.com. Many products that are 40, 50, 60% off in the 60% category. We've got ExtendoWise and Myco ZX Plus, both 60% off. We have Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink Mix, 50% off. That's a great way to take all of your vitamins and minerals without swallowing a lot of pills. You can put it in a great tasting smoothie. Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink Mix, 50% off. So is Bod Ease, our all-natural anti-inflammatory supplement. It's got turmeric and many other natural ingredients. Very effective, safe, and now 50% off Bod Ease. We also have 40% off of Turbo Force and the protein bars that you'll find at InfoWars. Great-tasting protein bars. And finally, for the listeners of this program, we have a special on 100% organic coffee. We call that Wake Up America Coffee. And it is a great way to wake up in the morning and to listen to this program, this early morning program. And you can save 10% off of our 100% organic coffee. Just use the code WAKEUP at checkout at InfoWarsStore.com. And also, don't forget to subscribe to my new YouTube channel. You can find it at youtube.com/Libertarian. You can also subscribe, follow me on Twitter, Libertarian. And you can find the archives at InfoWars.com/David-Knight-Show. All right, one more thing to say about Mueller. And, of course, this is a Dershowitz op-ed piece at The Hill. And Dershowitz has said many times that he hates the situation. He says, look, I've got a lot of issues with Trump's policies and so forth, but we shouldn't criminalize politics. And that's exactly what they're doing. He wrote this at The Hill. He said, Bob Mueller went beyond the conclusion of his report and gave a political gift to Democrats in Congress who are seeking to institute impeachment proceedings against President Trump. Mueller effectively invited Democrats to institute impeachment proceedings. Dershowitz writes, obstruction of justice is a high crime and misdemeanor, which under the Constitution would authorize impeachment and removal of the president. Until today, I have defended Mueller against the accusations that he is partisan. I didn't believe that he personally favored either Democrats or Republicans or had a point of view on whether or not Trump should be impeached. But I have now changed my mind. By putting his thumb, indeed his elbow, on the scale of justice in favor of impeachment based on obstruction, Mueller has revealed his partisan bias. He has also distorted the critical role of a prosecutor in our justice system. Exactly true. Mueller's statement yesterday, as I've said many times, nothing new, nothing true. And just contrast it with what Comey did. Hillary committed felonies, but we're not going to do anything about it. We'll come after the Navy sailor who took a picture of his bunk. We'll send him to jail. Hillary, massive violations of national security at above top secret level, a quantity that we have never seen before. You know, Hillary ought to be remembered as a master spy for the Chinese, not as a failed presidential candidate. But nothing to her. She committed felonies, says Comey, but we're not going to do anything about it. Mueller says Trump did nothing. Nobody in his campaign did anything. But we still want to impeach him for obstruction when there was no crime. That is where we are. And, you know, a lot of you out there say, well, I don't like Alan Dershowitz. I don't like his politics. I don't like him because he's Jewish, a lot of people will say. So what? Look, what he has to say is true about this. And that's the key thing. You know, we look at what was going on with Martin Luther King. When Martin Luther King said, we want to judge someone by the quality of their character and not the color of their skin, that is still true, even if the man who says it is now revealed as part of his character. He stood by and watched and applauded as a woman was raped. It's still true that you want to judge people by the content of their character and not the color of their skin. It's true that even though the founders of this country said we are all created equal and we have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, those guys who wrote that owned slaves. That doesn't make that invalid. The principles are still valid principles, even though the people who put them out there may have said it in a very cynical, they might have lied. They may not have believed it even. But those distillations of what we believe here in this country are still true, even if the people who did it are guilty of crimes. Yeah, that's when we look at these types of things, and when we look at what's going on with Julian Assange, I'm very concerned where this country is, because I have seen people who have, the heart is an idol factory, it's been said. We are always looking to build idols, aren't we? We can make an idol out of a thing, and we can certainly make an idol out of a person, and that is especially true when it comes to politics. I saw the left do it with Obama, and I saw the right do it with President Trump. You're not going to find me in a massive crowd cheering on a man. I'm interested in the principles that they're talking about. every Machiavellian politician has got positions. Those positions are just poses to get elected. And they abandon those poses when they become get into office, or when they achieve their purpose of power. I want to see somebody who's going to talk about principles. And so I supported President Trump on the issues that candidate Trump ran on. And if President Trump doesn't support those issues anymore, then so be it. I still support those issues, whether Trump supports those issues or not. Build the wall. That's still true. I still believe that, whether President Trump does or not. It's just a slogan. It's an empty slogan with him. The border is melting down. You know, we got everybody talking about, oh, look, we got UFOs. We have flying aliens. Yeah, they got flying aliens. They're flying them in by the thousands at your expense into our country, not back home. They're not flying those foreign citizens back home. Those are the aliens that I'm concerned about. We look at what he's doing with free speech and free press. Nothing. As it is burning down in front of our eyes. Your free speech, my free speech, the free and independent press is being destroyed rapidly. And he's not even talking about the border. Instead of putting troops to monitor the border, President Trump is sending troops to monitor Iran. Now, he says in Japan, well, I'm not really interested in doing another war. You know, all these people that I put in here as advisors, I think they're kind of crazy. Well, we all knew that they were crazy before you put them in, President Trump. Everybody was saying, what is he doing putting in Bolton and Pompeo? Pompeo, who embraced Julian Assange before he got power. And then after he got power, he turned on him. How much of that turning is happening in the Trump administration, quite frankly? I'm very alarmed by what I see happening. And when I see Julian Assange and reports of him being gravely ill, you know, this is not being reported by most of the press. As they pointed out, we see the headlines from a Reuters article when they talked about the Swedish lawyer meeting with Julian Assange. The headlines were all about the fact that they refused to... They refused a request for a postponement to reschedule the hearing. They said, yeah, they came in. They said, well, he's not feeling good, so he wants a postponement. And they said, nope, not going to do that. And so it makes it sound like, oh, yeah, he's got a cold or something. Well, it's not that, quite frankly. The Reuters headline goes with this. Swedish court rejects delay of Assange hearing over ill health, says lawyer. They toned it down even more. In the Sydney Morning Herald, they said, Swedish court rejects effort to delay Assange hearing. Do you see how they've taken out any concerns about his health? And yet his lawyer had said, Assange's health situation on Friday was such that it was not possible to conduct a normal conversation with him. Which brings us back to that point, right? No man survives when freedom fails. The best men rot in filthy jails, like we see happening right now with Julian Assange. And those who cry, appease, appease, or who say, trust the plan, trust the plan. Now, don't criticize President Trump for letting his Justice Department come after Assange. Just trust the plan. You'll be hanged by those you try to please.
Speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. As I was saying, some outlets are reporting what's going on. One outlet reported Assange admitted to the medical department there in the prison, a Danish outlet, Politiken. Via machine translation, said weakened Assange hospitalized in London prison, impossible to have normal conversation with him. As one individual commented, Renata Avila on Twitter said, well, he needed urgent medical assistance after his expulsion from the embassy, but instead he was not allowed to receive medical treatment. And he talked about the case of one other individual who spent 1 year locked up in the Swiss embassy And he said it took him at least a month of treatment to go back to normal. Imagine if he had been locked up in an embassy for 7 years. And, of course, Julian Assange was locked up in the Ecuadorian embassy, not the Swedish embassy. No chocolates there. Imagine the Swedish embassy has much better conditions than the Ecuadorian embassy. But it's really the confinement that is the issue. And as Caitlin Johnstone summarizes, it's long been established that Assange was in failing health while trapped in the Ecuadorian embassy in London. It's been reported for years. We've been watching, she says, the slow motion assassination of Julian Assange. They've been choking him to death with tactical psyops, siege tactics, willful neglect, as surely as if they placed a noose around his neck, not just in Belmarsh prison, but in the Ecuadorian embassy as well. They did everything, folks, but pull up the big speaker trucks and broadcast heavy metal and the sound of rabbits screaming as they're being murdered, which is what they did to Manuel Noriega. I mean, these people are masters at this. Gina Haspel, not only a master at that, but also a master at covering up the crimes that they commit. These people know exactly what they're doing. And it's not just people like us who are talking about this. You've got a lot of people across the political spectrum, not the establishment media for the most part. You've got Glenn Greenwald talking about it on the left. You've got Jacob Sullum talking about it on the right. Also Reason Magazine talking about it. As Reason put it last week, as the additional indictments came out, their headline was, "New Julian Assange Indictment Crushes the Hope of Journalists Who Thought That Their Press Passes Would Save Them." Here's the bottom line, folks. All this talk coming from the so-called Justice Department and their National Security Division, they said, oh, well, you know, he is not a journalist. We take journalism and the First Amendment very seriously, but he's not a journalist. No need to worry. Go back to sleep. Trust the plan. Trust the plan. This is the Trump administration, after all, right? They're not going to take down free speech. They'll just stand idly by while the deep swamp does it, the deep state. But as Reason points out, there is no distinction of so-called journalist. The free press is every one of you. That's part of your free speech, right? The free press was anybody who had the way to mass produce this information. But free speech and free press are really fungible. They're indistinguishable. We're not talking about a professional guild here of people. I don't belong to any professional journalism organization. I wouldn't belong to any that would want to have me. I'm not part of the White House Press Corps. That is a unionized, very tightly controlled club. I don't get to ask questions of the presidential debates. Now even Fox is being kicked out by the Democrats and that kind of stuff. Yeah, they try to keep this very closed, don't they? And that's exactly what the Justice Department is doing, because that's where this type of tactic comes from. No, the freedom of the press refers to a method of communication, and that's what they're worried about, you communicating.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. As we have the Trump administration saying that Julian Assange is not a journalist, I say he's the best journalist we've seen, because he has given us more truth, massive amounts of truth, from the individuals who decide that they are entitled to know everything about you, every last detail of you and your family. And you're not entitled to know anything about what they do. Oh, it's national security, except Hillary Clinton goes free. And the best of us, like Julian Assange, rots in a filthy jail. That's what it looks like, folks, when freedom fails. And don't you be a part of the crowd screaming, trust the plan. Don't trust this plan. As I tweeted out, a leader is somebody who's going to lead by clearly articulated principles. Shame on President Trump if he thinks he can somehow do this covertly through back doors. He needs to be a leader, not a Machiavellian manipulator. I am sick and tired of realpolitik, and that's basically what's going on right now at Bilderberg. He's going to send in Kushner to talk to Kissinger. Get Jared to be lectured by Henry Kissinger on realpolitik. Yeah, the end justifies the means, and we can do anything. We can construct our power by lying to people. Well, the people who will lie to the people you don't like, you're going to find out those people are lying to you as well. You need to stand on the principles our founders clearly articulated in a declaration why they were doing what they were doing, and they signed their John Hancock's really big. That's very different. If you believe all this QAnon nonsense, that's very different than what President Trump is doing right now. Very different. Those were leaders. This is manipulation. And it is very dangerous when we look at this. We're talking about Dershowitz saying, look at what Mueller is doing. He's criminalizing politics. And Dershowitz is right. He is criminalizing politics. The left is criminalizing politics by coming after Trump. And Trump is allowing, or either a part of this, criminalizing politics by coming after Assange and destroying our First Amendment at the same time. That's really what's happening here. Let's understand that we have a right to elect whoever we wish. Democrats don't like that, and they want to destroy that election. And we have a right to expose criminal actions of our government and the deep state establishment, the military-industrial complex, the surveillance state, and apparently now President Trump don't like that. If the truth gets in the way of what they're doing, they'll take out the truth tellers. And that should worry each and every one of you, as should his passivity and inaction when it comes to following through on the existential issues before us, the collapse of this border in a way that we have never seen before, and the collapse of our vital freedom of speech. It is not. Are we going to allow the Justice Department to decide who is a real journalist and who isn't a real journalist? What does that mean? You got a mic flag from CNN or Fox, you're a real journalist. That's what we see coming from the social media, the technocratic elite who accuse everybody they don't like of hate and deplatform us, deplatform you off of social media. Oh, well, yeah, we're going to have established news sources, say Facebook, say Apple, say Google, and we'll push everybody else to the curb. You really want that? That is a tactic of the left, but it is also a tactic of the right. That is the tactic that they're using against Julian Assange right now. You really think these people in Washington, you really think Gina Haspel is going to drain the swamp? Gina Haspel is one of the worst examples of the swamp. So is Bolton. So is Mike Pompeo, laughing and mocking at the Texas A&M statement. Yeah, you know, when I was at West Point, we told we don't lie, we don't cheat, we don't tolerate people who do. That used to be America. In America, we didn't used to tolerate people who lied, who cheated, who stole. But he said, he laughed and goes, yeah, but at the CIA, we had courses on how we lied, we cheated, we stole. We had courses on how to do that. We had courses on how to do torture. And even the people who made millions teaching them how to torture, got off. The only person who went to jail was the best of the CIA, John Kiriakou. He rotted in jail while these psychologists who gave the courses on how to torture got paid millions. While Gina Haspel, who oversaw the facility that did the torturing, Gina Haspel, who destroyed the tapes, gets promoted by President Trump to the head of the CIA, rewarded for that. Are you kidding me? Trust the plan? Do you not see that you're being played by QAnon? My goodness. I can't take this anymore. This is just disgusting. We see what these people are doing. You are a fool. You are a pawn if you think this is 4D chess. You really are. A real leader, somebody who is capable of saving this country, is going to declare the principles on which he is fighting, and he's going to hold to those principles. That's what the people did who founded this country. The tactics that we see now are the tactics of Kissinger, of Machiavelli. Those are not going to give us the America that we had. It's not going to make America great again. It's going to destroy America. It's the same tactics we've seen put out. So to say, yeah, Julian Assange is no journalist. As Jacob Sullum wrote yesterday on Reason, he said, take a look at how what they're doing to Julian Assange mirrors what the San Francisco police chief did. And I talked about that last week as well. I said, look at this pattern here. Before I even talked about the indictments, the 17 new indictments against Julian Assange last week, I said, just take a look at this situation in San Francisco, Carmody. The guy who's a professional reporter. I mean, how do we say somebody is a journalist? Does that give you some kind of, if you make money from journalism, you are now a professional? Do you have to be certified by the White House Correspondents Association? Do you have to go to their dinner? What makes you an official journalist? Well, I think you people who are talking on social media, I think you've got something to say. And they do too. They're very much afraid of you. That's why they're talking about that at Bilderberg. That's why they did something about it. That's why it's getting much worse. And it's gone past time. Something needed to be done about it. You know, we're supposed to be so grateful for a couple of crumbs that have fallen off of Trump's table. Oh, look, he tweeted about it a couple of days. He tweeted more about the Kentucky Derby than he did about the destruction of free speech in the public square, the digital public square. He tweeted more about the Kentucky Derby than he did the takeover of the internet. And then he puts out a request, says, oh, yeah, tell me if something's happened to you. I haven't sent anything. I don't intend to send anything to Trump. If he doesn't damn well know what's going on, then what's the point? He's too busy looking at himself in the mirror. So what we see in San Francisco, you see a police chief who says, well, I don't like what this guy put out, this reporter. There was somebody who died. The autopsy indicated that he might have been a user of drugs. It was information about how maybe he was having an affair, whatever. Whether that was true or not, they thought that that was embarrassing. And the police tried to cover up that report. The reporter got the report and put it out. Now, if San Francisco was the federal government, they would have classified that and said, you violated national security. And in fact, that's basically what they did to this reporter. The police chief called him a co-conspirator, said he had participated in the theft of that leaked document. See, because he's looking at the top. He's looking at the leaders of our society. That is acceptable behavior now because both the left and the right do that. So even the police chief is going to do that. The country rots from the head down. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. We have Gerald Celente joining us in the next segment. We'll find out what he sees as the latest trends. Of course, he is publisher of trendsresearch.com. That's his website. He publishes Trends Journal. So it'll be interesting to see what Gerald Celente thinks about the economy, about war and peace, because, like me, Gerald Celente is concerned about our unending wars. Folks, if you want to support us, we've got our Memorial Day mega sales continuing. We have many items that are 60, 50, 40% off, and we also have a special offer to the listeners of this program. If you want to save 10% off of Wake Up America coffee, it's 100% organic. It comes in two different blends, Patriot Blend or Immune Support Blend. You can save 10% off of Wake Up America Coffee. Just use the code WAKEUP at checkout to get that discount off of Wake Up America Coffee. Again, this is the only place you're going to hear this special is right here on this program. But you'll find the specials for Memorial Day at InfoWarsStore.com. You'll see that we've got ExtendoWise and Myco ZX Plus 60% off. We have Super Male Vitality 50% off. Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink Mix 50% off. Bodies are all natural anti-inflammatory product 50% off. Turbo Force and Protein Bars are 40% off. Make sure you go there. Check out the specials. That's just some of the specials that you'll find as part of our mega sale for Memorial Day. And don't forget to subscribe to my new YouTube channel. You can find me at youtube.com/LibertyTarian. You also can find me on Twitter, LibertyTarian. I never was on Facebook. We had the show on Facebook. Of course, that's now gone. but you can also find me, many podcasts. You'll see those podcasts if you go to my Twitter feed. Where you can download podcasts. And, of course, there's a lot of radio and TV stations that carry this program, so make sure you support them by supporting their sponsors and letting them know. That's why you are supporting them, because you like the programming that you hear. But, of course, when it comes to our major funding, you are our only sponsor. And if you don't support us with the products that we have at InfoWarsStore.com, we won't be here that much longer. As I was saying, Alan Dershowitz came out and said, shame on Mueller. He has revealed his bias, his partisan bias. And I agree. It is a shame what Mueller has done. And I think it is a shame what we have seen in terms of policy statements and other things that have been happening. I want to take a look at Bilderberg here. Because we had Donald Trump Jr. take to Twitter yesterday to tell Roy Moore, you can't run for Senate again in Alabama. And I just want to hold out for you the idea. You can't win for Senate. Now, take a look at what happened to Roy Moore. This is a guy who had run for office over and over and over again. When he stood up for the 10th Amendment, the only politician in my lifetime that I've seen stand up for the 10th Amendment and say the federal judges don't have the authority to rule us. We have made law. We have our Constitution in Alabama that defines these issues, and we are not going to follow the edicts of a federal judge. And he was exactly right, and he stood up to them. They don't want that kind of person in Washington. And so what we saw was, as he was about to get elected, you had a scandal about sexual harassment. Now, contrast that with Dennis Hastert, a guy who was a known pedophile as a wrestling coach in high school. He was groomed by the same Republican Party that took out Roy Moore. The same Republican Party. Dennis Hastert was groomed by them to become a congressman. He was promoted by them to be the longest-serving Speaker of the House. And then when they were done with him, they exposed him as a pedophile and said, well, can't do anything about it because statute of limitations is done. We made sure that there's a short statute of limitations on pedophilia. And then I think these same people who covered up for decades what Dennis Hastert was doing, they covered up the truth. Those same people lied to take down Roy Moore. That's my opinion. And I think it's a shame that people who have principle need not bother to apply to the GOP or to the Trump family to run for office. Made me disgusted to see that, just as disgusted as I am to see the policies, and just as disgusted as I am to see that we got Jared Kushner cozying up there at Bilderberg. Hey, Donald Trump Jr., why don't you ask your brother-in-law what he's doing at Bilderberg? The years that I've covered it, every year I covered it, I said this is a violation of the Logan Act. Ron Paul has said it's a violation of the Logan Act. We heard President Trump saying what John Kerry is doing, meeting with representatives of foreign government, is a violation of the Logan Act. He's not going to be talking about that with Jared Kushner. And yet these people are meeting in private. They say, well, these are Chatham House rules. Well, we've got our own rules here in the United States. Yeah, I know Zuckerberg's got a set of rules and Chatham House has got a set of rules. But we also have a set of rules that all of you took an oath to when you got your office here in America, because we don't have a king president. The Constitution is king. The people who founded this country said, Lex Rex, the law is king. And that's why you took an oath to the Constitution. You are just merely temporary stewards. You are not the king. But you are unfaithful stewards. And it disgusts me to see people in the Trump administration going to Bilderberg. What a betrayal that is, in my opinion. And here's the boilerplate way that it is always talked about in the mainstream media. The clandestine nature of the Bilderberg meeting regularly sparks conspiracy theories and accusations of a secret world order. Oh, yes, okay. Well, it just turns out that these are the people who rule the world. And this mainstream press never seemed to be interested in covering it all. They do this kind of boilerplate description simply because we would go there and cover it, and other people would go there and cover it. You know, people who are not legitimate journalists because they're not part of the White House press corps or whatever their standard is, because the legitimate journalists are on the inside meeting with these people and not telling you anything about it. That's what passes for legitimate journalism. They say, well, it sparks accusations of a secret world order, but the organizers say the restricted gathering with rules on reporting simply allows more freedom to have discussions. We're just meeting with each other, right? They have the very highly publicized Davos. They invite celebrities. They invite the press. They make statements. But they keep you at a distance with Bilderberg. The one that I went to, well, I went to a couple of them. But the only one that I went to where you could actually see anything that was happening was the one in Copenhagen, 2014. We actually walked into the hotel office at the lobby as they had already set up security. They set up barriers, and they say, well, you know, this is we're doing this wholly by private subscription, and yet it costs millions for the local people to provide security for these people to keep the press miles away. In most cases, they couldn't do that in Copenhagen. My wife got pictures of Ed Balls, who had been very high up in the Labour Party of the UK, going in with a suitcase packed with nothing but papers that all fell out when he was trying to find his pass. Yeah, so much about, oh, it's just private discussions. We're not doing any business here. He lost.
Reverse engineering the high-tech takeover plan. This is The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Joining us now is Gerald Celente. Of course, his website is trendsresearch.com. If you go there, you can get some samples. You can see his journal, Trends Journal. And, of course, Gerald Celente, no stranger to our audience, always on top of the trends. And, of course, Gerald, we have today the Bilderberg meeting. The 67th Bilderberg meeting is happening. And one of the things that they're talking about, of course, besides Europe, you know, what's next for Europe? How do we get a stable, strategic new world order? Brexit, so forth. They're talking about the future of capitalism. And, of course, Gerald talks not only about war and peace, but also about markets. What do you see as the future of capitalism?
Well, capitalism is long gone. It's corporatism. I mean, the corporations have taken
That's
over.
Right. That's
and,
right.
You know, there's no such thing in capitalism as too big to fail. Who made that one up? And you saw the numbers that came out, the Federal Reserve. No, it wasn't according to Bloomberg. They put in $9 trillion. According to the Levy Institute at Bard College, the Federal Reserve dumped in $29 trillion. So it's not capitalism. The money all went to the very big. So what are they talking about? They're talking about, you know, how could they make more money and shaft the rest of the people and drive them into slavelandia? And they're worried about the revolts that might happen, you know, particularly in Europe. I mean, that's what the Bilderbergs are. The Bilderbergs. It's a corporate mob.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. The joke that came, the joke that was on the Babylon Bee yesterday was that Occasional Cortex saw a discussion of free market, and she thought that was a grocery store where everything was for free. I mean, that's kind of the level of where we are right now. So, yeah, you talk about free markets or capitalism. People don't really understand what these terms mean anymore because they don't mean anything. We have fascism. We have crony capitalism. And that's what these people here at Bilderberg really are representative of.
Yeah, that's all they are. Yeah, what you mentioned, it's the 67th year. So 67 years of stealing more of our money, putting us more into slavery, robbing us of more of our rights. I mean, that's the Bilderbergs, so they can get more of everything else. And it's in country after country. You know, they just had the parliamentary elections over there in the European Union. And, you know, people expected more and more of the so-called populist movements to gain strength. And they did in England and in France and Italy. But overall, you know, they're still in control, and they didn't take that big a hit from it. So most of the people just bend down to the Bilderbergs and keep doing what they're told. And particularly in the United States, where we still have the corrupt two-party system running and ruining our lives, and there's absolutely no major third party to end this long line of corruption from the Bloods and the Crips that imbeciles and morons call Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I agree. Yeah, we look at the aftermath of the EU elections, and of course, we're going to talk more about that with Leo Zagami in the next hour, because he's been watching it closely in Italy. But as you just pointed out, Gerald, you know, we can look at it and we can say, well, that's good, you know, because the Brexit Party is now the political party that has more people seated as an individual political party. But that's not the way that it works in the European Parliament. They have these coalitions that are made up of collections of multiple national parties, sometimes multiple parties even within the same country. And those broad coalitions, they might have lost 30, 40 seats, but they still have an overwhelming majority. So really, the center hasn't really changed. It may make a difference for Britain, because the people who want to get out of the European Union still have a reason to get out, because the leadership hasn't changed there.
No, you're right. And but think about Brexit. I mean, and just like the same thing with the Greeks. The people voted for one thing, and the government does another thing. They could care less about what the people want.
Yeah.
I mean, this Brexit thing was supposed to end in March. And now, of course, you know, they extended it. And just to show you what a freak show it is and the freaks that did it, you know when the expiration date is. Happy Halloween.
Yeah, yeah. October 31st. Figured out that it was a trick and not a treat from Theresa May, right?
Yeah, you got it.
She's a witch.
Yeah.
They finally figured that out. So what do you see happening in the economy worldwide coming up?
Well, it's a global slowdown. You know, I mean, you read the headlines or the papers, and, you know, it's one after another. It's risky municipal bonds keep up hot streak. Growth in corporate bonds sound an alarm. Emerging market stock funds suffer $4 billion outflows in the past week. Eurozone manufacturing declines amid trade's angst. Growing economic worries spark slide in bond yields. I mean, it's one story after another. And then, right, you know, you look in the United States, our housing market isn't doing that great, not better than expected. You're looking at retail sales aren't doing great. Durable good orders are down. You know, so it's a slowdown. It's a global slowdown. And now you're seeing the inverted curve, the yields curve, and that means that a three-month bond, you get better return than a 10-year yield on a bond. And every recession has followed an inverted curve, a yield curve.
Wow.
So there's concern about that. Our forecast is this. You're going to see the Federal Reserve start to lower interest rates really soon. They're going to do anything they can to prop up this slowing economy. Remember all those stock buybacks that we saw last year and the year before and the year before and the year before?
Oh,
guess
yeah.
what? The corporations are starting to sell now. The buybacks are slowing down. So people should be very concerned about an economic slowdown, but we don't see a recession hitting, not until probably late 2020, because the Federal Reserve is going to do everything they can to lower interest rates, and they raised them 9 times since 2015. They could lower them 9 times.
We're saying until late 2020, you think they're going to try to crash the economy just before the election? I mean, certainly that's what the Democrats would like to see. That's really what it's going to turn on. It's going to be the economy.
It's going to be the economy. And no, we're saying late 2020 and the recession just starting into it, which means the economy will be strong by election day. You're not ultra strong. It depends on what they do. You know, if they come up with start putting more quantitative easing in, if they lower taxes for we the little people, you know, if they do those kind of things, it'll boost the economy up. But remember, it's a global slowdown and it has nothing to do with trade wars. They're not having a slowdown in Mexico because of a trade war with China. Yep. It has nothing to do with that. There's that Argentina doesn't have a 65% interest rate and a decline of 50% in the peso and soaring inflation because of the trade war between the United States and China. These are economic fundamentals. Things don't go straight up, and they also, you know, are only artificially propped up. So we have a $250 trillion global debt bubble that they just keep building bigger. It's going to explode at some point. The when, the where, and the how is still up in the air.
Well, and of course, in interviews with me, you had pointed out how China was already showing signs of economic collapse because they had created this massive real estate bubble. And that was well before anything happened with President Trump trying to equalize trade tariffs between the two countries. I'm sure they'll try to spin that and say, well, you know, they got economic difficulties and such, Trump's issue here. But that was underway. As you pointed out, it's a global recession that is cranking up here because they have created this massive bubble, and the bubble was already starting to burst in China before any of this stuff happened. But the question is, and we'll take a look at this when we come back, what is going to be happening in the near term? These kinds of maneuvers that China is doing in order to try to punish the United States, that may accelerate that. They're talking about rare earth minerals and so forth. So I want to get your take on what kind of effect that will have, because they have pretty much a monopoly on that particular resource. That's about the only thing that they've got. I mean, we've got them over. We're holding all the coins and all the cards when we have such a massive trade deficit with them. But they do have that. So we can talk about that when we come back and what the future holds for us. We'll be right back with Gerald Celente, Trends Research. You can find him, his Trends Journal there, trendsresearch.com. Gerald Celente of TrendsResearch.com. If you go there, you can see Trends Journal. You can subscribe to that. Gerald has been accurately predicting trends for quite some time. And so I want to talk to Gerald as we're talking about trade and the economy. As President Trump has pointed out, Gerald, he's holding all of the chips. We've got a $500 plus billion surplus with China. There's limited things that they can do in response to that. But one of the things that they can do is to use their control over rare earth minerals, which is very much a strategic product that's used as a essential element, if we will, really are elements of many high-tech devices. What do you think is going to happen with that? They continue to try to throw that out there. That's really kind of the only card they've got to play, isn't it?
Yeah, they don't have a lot of cards to play. You know, I agree with Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, who said, you know, that we should be taxing the corporations, stop the trade war with China as much, you know, some of it. But like Nike and Levi and Apple, you know, they've taken all our technology and gave it to the Chinese. They didn't steal it. And so they could get their stuff made by slave labor. And so those are the ones that we should be taxing for them getting it made over there, bringing it over here, marking up the price and selling it to us. And yes, China does have that card to play. But again, you know, with the trade deficit so much in their favor, I mean, why would they not renegotiate it? And yeah. So to think that there's not going to be a renegotiation, I think is, you know, ridiculous. And by the way, when Bernie Sanders comes out and says that Trump isn't strict enough on NAFTA and that we need new trade negotiations, then it's okay. The reason these negotiations aren't going anywhere is because the Democratic media keeps attacking Trump. And every damn day on the mainstream media, the reasons the markets go up and down, they always give the same stupid reason. trade. If there's going to be a trade deal, the markets go up. If there's not a trade deal, the markets go down. Get this in your head, everybody. The markets have been going up since right after Trump got elected in November of 2016 and kept hitting new highs. So if the trade deals were going on to stop it, that wouldn't have happened. Oh, and by the way, just a month ago today, the markets had hit another new high. So no, it wasn't trade deals that brought the market up because there's not been no trade deals. So again, it's the media that's destroying this because the media is the Democratic Party controlled. You look at that little clown, one after another, whether it's little Chrissy Cuomo, another arrogant boy born on third base whose brother's governor and father was governor. You look at Stephanopoulos. Where was he? He worked for the Clintons, one after another. So the media, if Bernie Sanders says we need new trade deals, then it's okay. When Trump says it, then it's a problem.
You know, Gerald, you talked about the fact that these big corporations were partners with China so they could use slave labor. I'm concerned, you know, you're correct in the sense that, you know, when they were bringing back their capital, repatriating that capital, first thing they did was to buy their stock and inflate their stock. I think ultimately they're going to start building a slave labor infrastructure here in the United States because of their technocratic leverage that they have here. We're already seeing this with Amazon, with many other corporations, basically plotting to eviscerate employment here. I think we're going to look at something that is going to be, by 2030, I think we're going to see unemployment that is going to dwarf anything that we saw during the Great Depression because of this type of automation. They're talking about automating the warehouses to the point that they don't even have any lights in the warehouse. And so I think we're seeing this kind of slave labor as well as the monitoring of everything that you do. I mean, all these major corporations have been complicit in establishing China. They've been using it as a test bed. I think they're going to bring that technology back here. Do you see that as a trend?
Yeah. And again, you mentioned Amazon. You know, I mean, look at it. You know, wouldn't you love to have a job in a warehouse? I mean, isn't that great? You're going to be losing that one. You know, so, yeah. And then, you know, you look at the numbers too. You know, Google has more temporary workers than full-time workers. Mm-hmm. And isn't it a great line?
And they're living in RVs. They're living in RVs to the extent that the local zoning people are saying, we're going to pass ordinances so these people can't live in the RVs and dump sewage into the drains here because that's the way they're having to live to work at Google now.
Yeah, and look at the term they come up with to make it seem like it's legitimate. How about a gig economy? Isn't that great? A gig economy means you have like three jobs and don't make enough money in any of them.
I think we could call it a Goog economy because that's what Google has got in mind for all of us. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about Facebook because, you know, we've talked about Bitcoin in the past. Mark Zuckerberg has got an idea for a cryptocurrency. He's already got a telling name for it, Global Coin. And he has met privately with Mark Carney, who is now meeting privately with a lot of other people at Bilderberg, the governor of the Bank of England. He has met with Treasury Department officials. So there's the Bank of England, the U.S. Treasury Department. They're talking to Mark Zuckerberg about setting up a global cryptocurrency. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's more dominance of the multinationals that are taking over the country and the world. And so I think it's real and they're going to do it and people are hooked to it. And again, when you look at the currencies, you know, we're talking about China. You know what the yuan represents in Forex and global trading each day? Less than 3%. It's nowhere. And so now the yuan's going down under pressure. What do the people want to do? They want to get into another currency. So when you have a audience and a captive audience like Facebook has, yeah, they could come out with a coin and people are stupid enough to buy into it and buy it because they control them now. I mean, people's lives are on these things.
Oh, yeah, you know, absolutely. And it's very worrying when we see the types of things like it's in the news today, how Uber is kicking customers out of their service if they don't like your reviews. See, these are the types of things that is going to come around with these social media companies. With the technocratic elite in Silicon Valley, they're going to weaponize their platforms just as they're doing in China. I mean, you're going to have your private automobile taken away. You're going to have to rent your cars from Uber. But if they don't like you, they won't let you even rent a car there, once they get a duopoly.
Yeah, and again, it's with that, it's like that with everything. If they don't like what you say, you're not on the air either. And again, it's a global takeover. Again, it's not capitalism. It's corporatism.
Yeah,
Go on, finish what were you going to say?
I think we got a little bit of a lag here. I was going to say George Gilder talked about life after Google, and of course he had the book Life After Television that was highly respected by Steve Jobs, many other people. Now he is saying that the internet is going to have to be rebuilt from the bottom up. This idea that everything is free was one way to rope everybody in, but people are looking for privacy, they're looking for security. So George Google thinks that somebody is going to build an internet structure that is going to have as a fundamental foundational aspect privacy and security. It'll be something like a blockchain-based thing. Do you think that this is what Zuckerberg's trying to do, trying to get out in front of that? Because he's even offering to pay people to look at ads, pay them in crypto coin.
Yeah, and I think, again, you know, it's bigger than that. One of our coming out with in a later edition, I call it high-tech heroin. People are addicted to this stuff. Mm-hmm. They've got them. I mean, yeah. You see it from little kids. You see one study after another, from infants to adults. People, everybody is addicted. I don't carry a cell phone. I refuse to have one. I get angry at friends when they're on them and we're having a conversation and doing something. I won't tolerate it. I walk away.
That's right.
You know, but I'm saying it's the high-tech world. It's one of our top trends of 2019. Blessed are the geeks. And what I do is I show that in the King James Bible, it said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I said, they spelled it wrong. Blessed are the geeks, they have inherited the earth. They're taking over at every level, and that currency is just another level of a takeover.
Yeah, revenge of the nerds. And there isn't anybody that is any more nerdy than Mark Zuckerberg. I mean, when you look at this guy.
Cook. What about Schmidt? You know, the only thing that changed between Zuckerberg and Steve Jobs is the color of their T-shirt from black to blue.
Yeah, they've all got the Birkenstocks and the jeans. That's about the only thing that changes. Thank you for joining us, Gerald Celente. Again, you can find him at trendsresearch.com, and you can see a sample of Trends Journal, a great way to understand the coming trends both in politics and in economics. Trends Journal. Thank you so much, Cheryl. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. I was just talking to Gerald Celente about Zuckerberg's global coin scheme, a cryptocurrency he wants to make essentially the new way to control people globally. And as George Gilder has pointed out in Life After Google, since we have a cryptocosm, if you will, or an internet that is based on blockchain technology that puts privacy and security as the fundamental foundation of this structure, rather than trying to add it on as a bag later on the side. He said that's going to supplant everything. And so I look at this with some concern, because I'm worried that Zuckerberg is angling to set up something like that. And again, he's talking to the Bank of England. He's talking to the U.S. Treasury, even talking about how he would give a small little bit of global coin currency, cryptocurrency, to people who watch his ads and so forth, trying to link people in and become not only the surveillance and facial recognition book people for the government, but also to kind of give them a way to leverage the banking system. And if you see what's happening in California, as a Free Thought Project pointed out last week, the California Senate passed a bill that would create limited state charter banks. Why would they do that? Well, because the Federal Reserve banking system is being weaponized against the marijuana industry that is now legal, even for recreational use in California. And so they're saying, well, we've decided, and they nullified, make sure, this is very important, and this is why I talk about marijuana so much, because you need to understand how they are unraveling the tentacles of the federal government that have extended into everybody's private life, and nowhere have we seen this done more effectively than in rolling back the unconstitutional usurpation of power over our lives in the area of marijuana. You know, we've had nullification both by state legislatures as well as by state referenda, the voters voting directly on this, but then they always carve it back by using, again, the banking system. And so the politicians, the California Senate, passed a bill that would establish limited state charter banks to serve the cannabis industry. The legislation would create a self-contained banking system so that the cannabis industry could not be shut down by the feds. See, the feds don't have any constitutional authority to say, you can't legalize marijuana, because the feds had no constitutional authority to prohibit it in the first place, like I've said many times. You know, we have the 18th Amendment that was required to prohibit alcohol. Why? Because the 9th and 10th Amendments say, if you don't have the power directly given to you, you don't have it. And that power is reserved to the people and to the states. And so they needed a constitutional amendment to prohibit alcohol. That was the 18th Amendment. They had another one to make it legal again. That was the 21st Amendment. And there was never any amendment to the Constitution to prohibit marijuana. So it is unconstitutionally prohibited. But they have other ways, don't they? They can do it by trying to bribe legislators and say, well, you know, we'll kick back civil asset forfeiture money of things, possessions that we steal from people. We'll steal their cars, their homes, their cash, and we'll give you a cut on it. How about that? Now you like that war on drugs? How about if we set up a private prison industry and you guys can make a cut of that? You like that? And if all of that fails and the people say, we've had enough of this, we're tired of locking up so much of our population, because more people are locked up for marijuana than for anything else. That's been the central part of the war on drugs. If that happens, they come back and say, well, tell you what, we'll stop it by using the banking system. And the people on the right, many of you who have absolutely no use for marijuana because you don't understand the medical use of it or whatever, I don't have any use for the recreational use of it either. But you better pay attention, because they're weaponizing the banking system against the First Amendment and against the Second Amendment, against our free speech, against our right to keep and bear arms. They're using the banks to stop that as well.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. At the top of the hour, in the last segment, I was talking about how California Senate has passed a bill that would create limited state charter banks for marijuana companies to use, because they've legalized it against an unconstitutional war on drugs that was created by the United Nations. You've had California, many other states say, no, you don't have any authority about that. And they don't. But they have other ways that they will keep coming after this. They're not going to have a direct confrontation. Even Jeff Sessions wouldn't do that, as I pointed out. But we see happening with marijuana the same thing that we have seen happening with free speech, happening with guns. And that is using the banking system to take down the people and the activities that they don't like. And so in California, they look at this. I say, well, because marijuana remains illegal under federal law, reports Free Thought Project, cannabis businesses in the state that have legalized marijuana remain effectively locked out of the banking system. It always goes back to the bankers. Said if a federally chartered or insured financial institution touches marijuana money, it takes on a significant legal risk. Because of the fallout of the recession 2007-2008, And because of the laws that were put in by Elizabeth Warren and the Consumer Financial Protection Board, what they were able to do with those increased regulations that were supposed to protect the consumer, what those increased regulations did was they drove small banks out by the hundreds. We had the too big to fail banks in the first place because of the Clinton administration. It was the Clinton administration that touched off consolidation of the banking industry, the mergers, back in the 90s when they allowed the Nation's Bank and Bank of America merger to create the Bank of America, headquartered then in North Carolina. And they said, that's fine. Everybody said, oh, you're going to wind up with about a half dozen banks. And that's exactly what we got. And then the Clinton administration also removed the Glass-Steagall Act that prohibited them from getting involved in speculative investments because they were federally insured. They said, well, if you're going to get federal insurance, you can't speculate. And they said, no, that's okay. You can. So they put us in a position where these banks were too big to fail and too big to jail. And then in the name of reform, they passed a bunch of restrictions that put out the banks by the hundreds for several years. Matt Drudge doesn't report on that anymore because they're pretty much gone. But there would be 150, 160, 170 year after year that had gone out because of what Elizabeth Warren did. Oh, she's protecting you from the big bankers, the big bad bankers, isn't she? No. She is the handmaid of those people. Whether she realizes it or not, and I think she does realize it. And so when they get these few banks and when they have the federal banking system, that's the way the feds are going to get around states trying to exercise their 10th Amendment freedom. And they've already seen this in California. So they came up with a bill, SB 51, that would completely bypass the federal banking system, create a limited banking alternative for the marijuana industry in California. And this is important because you have to understand that if we allow this central federal banking system to be able to weaponize what they don't like about content, we've already said, who'd they move against first? It wasn't the marijuana companies. We've already had bank after bank first deplatform gun retailers and gun manufacturers say, we're not going to do business with you because you make firearms and we don't like your business. So you can't have a banking account and we're going to kick you out. Now they're doing it with independent journalists. We've seen this happen with InfoWars. Boom, you're out of the financial system. We're not going to process your credit card orders and so forth. And it's not just InfoWars now. It's many others that they've done this to. So they've attacked your right to keep and bear arms. They've attacked your First Amendment speech. How did they do that? Through the banking system, just like they are attacking marijuana. But those of us who want free speech, those of us who want our God-given right to keep and bear arms, need to learn about the strategies that these people are following to protect their right to have marijuana. See, that's why this is so important. They have figured out not only how to constitutionally nullify the unconstitutional UN war on drugs, but they've also figured out that they're going to have their own banking system because they'll cut you down that way as well. And they've got a lot of different ways that they can come after these banks. As they point out in the Free Thought Project, how do they use the banking laws as weapons? Well, they've got the USA Patriot Act. They've got the RICO statutes, a Racketeer Influence and Corrupt Organizations Act. So they can make any kind of claim they want to about a business that they don't like and just kick you off. And they're doing that with the marijuana industry. Now, they're not making those types of claims to kick people off for their exercise of free speech or making or selling guns. But they're able to get away with that because the mainstream press doesn't like an independent press. And they don't like people who own guns. So they don't talk about that. Instead, they publish it when they're doing this to the marijuana industry. For instance, in 2015, the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City denied Fourth Corner Credit Union's application for a master account. The Denver-based credit union was formed by Colorado's state licensed cannabis manufacturers as a nonprofit cooperative. By denying its application, the federal government prevented the institution from access to the Federal Reserve's payment facilities, including its check clearing, its wire transfers, and its ACH facilities. It made it impossible for this nonprofit cooperative of state-licensed cannabis manufacturers to do business. And that's exactly what they are doing to independent press and to manufacturers and sellers of firearms. You need to understand what their tactics are. And the banking system is a key part of it. Here's another one. In this story that we see today, Uber to ban low-rated passengers. Let me tell you where this is going. We've talked all the time about the social credit system in China, the fact that Zuckerberg and these other people are already putting a rating on you. And, of course, Uber has as well. I talked about this years ago. As you had the then CEO of Uber, Travis Kalanick, I think is the way he pronounced his name. Anyway, he was making not so veiled threats at journalists who wrote negatively about Uber, threatening to spend $1 million to investigate these people and find dirt on them. You know, kind of like what they did with Roy Moore. And if they can't find it, they just make it up, right? And at the time, some of these journalists who had been criticizing them because they weren't vetting the Uber drivers and some of these unvetted Uber drivers, that they didn't go through the vetting process like they do for regular taxi drivers, had assaulted or raped women. And so they were being criticized for that, as well as people looking at their business model. So I'm going to get those journalists. And at the time that was happening, and when that came out, so people started looking closely at what Uber was doing. They have a blog where they talk about various issues. And they'd had a blog entry called Rides of Glory. And in that blog entry, Uber talked about how they would look at various cities and they would map where you lived. And they said, well, if you're making a, if you're taking an Uber somewhere that's not your home, that's late night, and you stay there for a couple of hours and then you catch another Uber and go from there back home, ah, we think that is maybe some kind of an affair, a ride of glory. And so then what they did was they demographically cross-tabulated that by city and said, oh, look, we've got more rides of glory in this city than in that city. And then they did it by holidays and so forth. You see how they can mine this information? And now Uber is saying, well, we're going to ban low-rated passengers. Folks, this is a prescription for being ruled by a technocratic elite. That's why I say when Facebook has got their hate agents, or their, that's what they call them, hate agents. So we need to embrace that, call ourselves agents of hate, agents of humanity against these technocratic elite. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. Joining us in the next segment will be Leo Zagami. We're going to talk about the elections that happened this last week in Europe, the movement towards nationalism. A good beginning, but I don't think enough. So it's still very vital that they have a Brexit. You know, we look at Nancy Pelosi's reaction to the video that went viral. She was very outraged that Facebook would not move that immediately. And this is where this all began a couple of years ago. You had people throughout Europe, you had Democrats saying, well, we got something up there, and Republicans, we got something up there that we don't like. We want to make sure that you're going to take that down, and not only take it down, but you're going to take it down real fast. Remember when they had the hearings on Capitol Hill, and you had the social media Google people up there, and they said, well, wait a minute, you know, we got these stories here from InfoWars. They're trending at the top of your platform. What's wrong with this? And the technocratic elite representative that was there said, Senator, can we talk about this privately later? Can we go back? We don't have to wait till Bilderberg, but, you know, just you and I can go back to the chambers after this hearing. Let's not air this out in public that we're doing this for you. And then they openly did it. They didn't really care. It didn't take them too long to go from the first position to deplatforming InfoWars just with a hard, fast rule en masse, all at the same time. Last August the 6th. But Nancy Pelosi's out there saying Facebook is a willing enabler of Russian interference. So if they put up, if they allow something up that she doesn't like and they don't take it down quickly enough, they're enabling Russians. You're with the Russians. That's her narrative. It's just absolutely amazing. We have students who in a yearbook at a high school had their pictures taken. They were wearing MAGA caps, Make America Great Again caps, or red caps that say Make America Great Again. And they noticed that when the yearbook got published, that they had gone in and photoshopped out the Make America Great Again. So you just see the red caps. And they were like, well, I just think that whoever did this doesn't like Trump. You think? Get used to it, kids. This is the world that you're going to be growing up in. The world where Nancy Pelosi says, if you're wearing a cap like that, you've got to be a Russian. And we're going to censor what you have to say. That's exactly what is going on here. You know, one of the items at Bilderberg that begins today is the weaponization of social media. Nigel Farage talked about that when he talked about the aftermath of the election this weekend. And he said it really was social media that helped that to happen. And they understand that. They understand that social media has enabled people to push back against their controlled narrative. That's why they're working so hard to shut it down. And they are working to weaponize it. I've told you many times about the November 2017 hearing. We had a retired Army and intelligence officer testifying in public. Nobody picked it up except for the Socialist Workers Party magazine. And they said, look at this. Look at what this guy had to say. He said, we are losing the information war. These people are putting out different narratives. They're creating division. We have to stop that. They want a stable order, right? That's the number one item on Bilderberg. So we got to stop that. If people have different opinions, that could destabilize our imposed order. And so what he had to say was, he said, we have to silence the guns of social media, the cannons of social media. And that's exactly what they're doing. And so when they talk about the weaponization of social media, they mean that they are going to silence your ability to speak because they perceive your speech as a weapon against them. And they're right. They're absolutely right. Here's what Nigel Farage had to say about Brexit.
Good evening, everyone. Well, the last time I was here was on the 11th of April. I'm sorry, it's been a long time. And the reason is that on the 12th of April, I launched a brand new political party. It was called the Brexit Party. And you may have noticed that last night it managed to take 32% of the national vote across the country and be the leading party. In fact, the biggest party in terms of MEPs from across the whole of the European Union. So, yeah, I'm in a pretty jolly mood. But what I want to debate today is what have we learned from those European election results? And I'll perhaps kick this off by saying the first thing I've learned is that in the modern world, politics can change incredibly quickly. You know, it took the Labour Party 45 years from their birth to becoming a majority government. It took the Brexit Party 45 days from its launch to become the biggest party in a national election. How come? Social media. Social media, the use of video imaging has changed absolutely everything. So don't be surprised if you see further big changes in politics in the years to come. That's the first lesson I've learned. The second lesson that I've learned is that the two parties that have absolutely dominated politics since 1918, and of course I'm talking about the Labour Party and the Conservative Party, I've learned that they're both in real trouble. And unless they change quite radically, you could see a situation within the next couple of years where they're no longer serious forces in British politics. Clearly, the
absolutely, because people recognized it was a betrayal, just as we were talking about that with Gerald Celente in the last hour. They picked Halloween because Brexit became a trick, not a treat. So they're going to have to deliver on that. Meanwhile, as I point out, we have the Bilderberg meeting beginning today, and Telehub put out a poll on social media. And they asked people, is Jared Kushner attending Bilderberg as a friend or a foe to the American people? Is he attending it as a spy or as an agent? And so you had in this poll that he took, it was just 49 people voted. 27% said friend, a spy. 73% said foe, an agent. Well, I don't really know what's going on with Jared Kushner. I do believe that the president needs to openly confront this stuff rather than trying to appear to play along with them. When he is playing that game, I'm not really sure if he's deceiving them or us. That's the whole point of asking a question like that. President Trump has rightfully said, John Kerry is out there trying to subvert foreign policy, acting as in violation of the Logan Act. I believe that these people who are meeting in secret with taxpayer in every location where they go, massive amounts of money with armies of police to keep independent journalists, because the mainstream journalists don't care, to keep them at bay, to keep them miles away. The only exception, of course, being Copenhagen 2014. There we saw Ed Balls, a guy who had been Treasury Secretary with the Labor Party and was at the time the shadow Chancellor of the Exchequer, which is basically the Treasury of the Secretary. And they have somebody that is of the number two party, which would be Labor at the time. They say, well, this is who we would have to speak to those issues. He was shown going in with a suitcase full of papers and nothing else in his suitcase. Oh, yes, it's just casual meet and greet, they say. I don't think we play these kinds of games. I think we need clearly articulated principles, not just slogans and not this type of action. But we'll be right back with Leo Zagami. Get him to give us his take on the European Union election. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Without the freedom to offend, there is no free speech. It's the David Knight Show. And now, your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. Joining us now is Leo Zagami. Of course, you can find his writing at leozagami.com. Frequent guest here at InfoWars and on this program. He has an article up today talking about the European Union elections, about a forecast that he made a year ago. He put up a picture of himself standing next to a representative who said, mark my words, this guy is going to be one of the leaders of the new European Parliament next year with the elections. And that actually did happen. So joining us now is Leo Zagami. Thank you for joining us, Leo.
Hello, David. How are you? It's great to be back on your show.
Doing good. And of course, it was an interesting weekend, wasn't it? Tell us how your candidate did.
Well, I mean, my candidate did great. He was the third most voted candidate in the EU elections. His name is Antonio Maria Rinaldi. He's a professor, and he's a member of Italians for Trump, which is our organization which has been supporting Trump since he was actually running for his presidency. So Rinaldi is a Trumpian, he's an economist, he's somebody who is very capable of doing some kind of reforms that might help the European Union regain some credibility, because, as you know, they have lost such credibility. However, the League has won, and as you know, it has become one of the most important parties in the Union now. In Italy, they have completely overtaken the left progressive parties that have lost and have admitted their loss. So they're all crying, and in the rest of Europe, the same. I mean, in France, we have seen how Macron has been defeated by Le Pen, who is also an ally of Matteo Salvini. And then we saw, of course, Nigel Farage winning. So Europe is really in a state of disarray, in a state of chaos, because the ancient regime is supposed to nominate the new head of the EU Commission. And at the same time, the parliament reflects a completely different situation. The fact that the European system is rigged, though, doesn't give us much hope for the future. So let's see what happens, David, because, of course, I'm very confident that my friend Antonio Maria Rinaldi can make a difference in this situation. And as I said, he's very capable of doing it. But the way they are sabotaging the populist parties, the way they are accusing us of being fascist, right-wing, and so on, is the same as in the U.S. with Donald J. Trump. You have to have a lot of patience to deal with these left-wingers.
Oh, yeah, of course. In the U.K., they removed a couple of candidates just before the election, accusing them of being agents of hate on Facebook. And in reality, even putting up a parody, a satire of somebody, if you don't explicitly condemn somebody, they say, well, I think he's affiliated with that organization, even admitting that it was a satire that was somewhat critical, they still listed that person, still deplatformed them just before the election. So there's a lot that's happening with that. And as you point out, there's been a lot of strength in the political parties in Italy and the UK and so forth. But once they go to Brussels, they have these coalitions. And those coalitions, even though they've lost a lot of seats, they still have a firm grip on power there in the European Union. Do you think that these nationalist parties are really going to be able to reform this at all, or are they going to have to eventually leave like the people in Britain are still trying to do?
Well, they will never let them leave, because behind this whole project, as you know, there is the Vatican, together with the club Bilderberg, that today starts their meeting in Switzerland, which is dedicated to these problems and how they will solve them. I think they might solve them even in illegal ways, of course, throwing Europe in a new strategy of tension with the terrorist attacks. As I have forecasted in the last few months, there is a lot of terrorists waiting to create chaos in Europe that are arriving from Libya. And, of course, those elements will be used to create this this civil unrest in the end, because as we know, when the left-wing progressive parties don't obtain what their votes don't obtain legally and in a democratic way what they want, at that point they might resort to that kind of strategy.
They can just step back and let dangerous people come in, you know, bring in a brood of vipers, and once they start biting people, they'd say, oh, now we got to crack down on martial law. That's one way to do a false flag. They don't actually have to carry out the attack themselves. They can just kind of passively set up the conditions, set up the conditions, and then passively allow it to happen. And that's what you expect is going to happen?
Well, there is also a very important happening at the beginning of June, the arrival of Donald J. Trump in the UK, having lunch with the Queen in a moment which is very delicate, because, as we know, Brexit is still a very chaotic situation, is not being really clear what the Brits have to do or not to do. But in all this, we have Trump having lunch with the Queen. That's going to be an interesting event for
sure. I'm sure they'll be complaining about a violation of protocol or something. You know, he stood in front of her, or he stood beside her, and he's not allowed to do that type of thing. That's all you'll hear about from the press.
One thing that I notice, I am here in the U.S. at the moment and in Liberal California, is that they are completely obsessed with the royal family. So maybe they should detach from the United States and join again the colonies of the U.K. if they are so loving towards the Queen.
It is amazing, isn't it? They've forgotten everything that this country was founded upon, especially our Constitution. And yes, you are going to be coming to InfoWars later in July. You're here in the United States right now as part of your book tour, right?
Well, yes, not only. I mean, of course, I'm keeping myself alive using this, because I have been going through a few states. This Ultra 12 has kept me going. I went through Colorado with the snow. I arrived in Utah. I went to Idaho. Went to Oregon. Went to Nevada. I mean, I'm still on the move, and things are going quite well. I'm not sure I'm gonna be going back to Europe if Europe continues to persecute though political activists like myself, because the situation for people like me, Tommy Robinson or others, is very dangerous. I've been harassed all the way to when I left Italy by my police visits in the evening, claiming I've posted something wrong on Facebook. I mean, we are in a completely police state, which is really nerve-wracking when you are trying to be a journalist and you are in a hostile territory, because Europe can be regarded as hostile territory, David, because you see...
Yeah.
The
oh,
problem is the U.S.
Sounds like they're treating you like a reporter at Bilderberg, just on a daily basis, right?
Of course, but on a daily basis. I mean, you just go out of your house and the police just stops and starts harassing you for no reason, or they come to your door, as I said, for a simple post on Facebook. There is lawsuits that are moved against me that in Italy mean also that I could be arrested. So, I mean, the situation at this point is that if it gets to the – if the, in the worst case scenario, I'm going to declare myself a political exile, because this is not is not tolerable anymore, the way the Europeans are treating reporters and political activists that don't think the way they want think.
Well, it's kind of a creeping global problem. I mean, it is worse, no doubt about it. It is worse in the EU right now, but we see the same type of stuff gradually working its way to the United States because it is being pushed globally. And we can see that at Bilderberg, for example, when we take a look at the things that they're talking about. How do they maintain a stable strategic order? Well, they do it by weaponizing social media. They're concerned about Brexit. They're concerned about what's next for Europe. They're concerned about how they're going to sustain this climate change fraud, which is a Rockefeller scheme from going back to the 1970s. We'll be right back with Leo Zagami, leozagami.com. Stay with us. Welcome back. We're talking to Leo Zagami, who happens to be in the U.S. right now. He's talking about how bad things have become in the EU, how he gets harassed by the police on a continual basis, because that is now what is happening in the formerly free states of the West. We now have anybody who speaks out against the established narrative is now treated like a dissident was behind the Iron Curtain a few decades ago. And no better example can be found than what we see at Bilderberg. If you go there to try to cover that, they will treat you as a criminal, hold you at gunpoint, far away from the establishment there, with the exception of just one time there in Copenhagen. But you take a look at these rich and powerful people who are being protected by this phalanx of massive security, provided at the expense of the local hosting government that is there. People like the founder of Palantir, Alex Karp, who's now become a Bilderberg regular. I thought it was kind of interesting, Leo, to see the founder of LinkedIn there. I guess he's making some really good connections.
Of course, for his network and for his job, but not for us. There is also the presence of the ex-prime minister of Italy, Matteo Renzi, who is a Jesuit agent and the number one enemy of Matteo Salvini. So his presence is a little bit ominous, because they will try to overthrow Salvini and the present government in any way possible. And they're planning something that definitely is probably illegal and criminal towards all the sovereign states of Europe. The Club Bilderberg is meeting in Switzerland, in Montreux, which, as we know, is not part of the European Union. However, one of their main subjects is, from today, in this meeting, how they can save Europe, aside from, of course, also other subjects of interest, like the ethics of artificial intelligence. Do these people have any ethics? We know they don't.
Well, they perceive that as a problem. They don't want to have any AI that has ethics. I'm sure they're sitting in their closed-door meetings and saying, how do we keep the AI from having any system of ethics whatsoever. You know, you talked about Switzerland, and they just browbeat Switzerland into putting in gun control regulations that they didn't have before, saying if you don't do this, you're not going to be part of the Schengen zone with free travel. So we're basically going to lock you in like the Nazis put them under siege. And, of course, that goes back to the origins of Bilderberg in the first place. You know, many people, including me, believe that this was all done. It wasn't any coincidence that this first meeting happened 10 years after the last Nazi victory there at the Bridge Too Far, if you've ever seen that movie about Operation Market Garden.
Well, I think that the Nazi ways are implemented also through social networks. And just before I forget, I wanted to mention my 30 days ban on my official profile on Facebook only for mentioning the threaded word Islamic immigration. That was said not by me, but actually by a cardinal, who is Cardinal Burke, who is an American cardinal that, as we know, has sustained the ideas of Matteo Salvini and is one of the number one enemies of Pope Francis. There is no coincidence, of course. These people are connected to the Nazis. They have their DNA that goes all the way to Nazi Germany. And unfortunately, this is becoming more and more evident. But I will find it very difficult to take the weapons from the Swiss people. The Swiss people are very proud people. They are very few people, but they have always had this thing of having weapons in their house, an obituary period for each male in the Swiss military. I really doubted that they will eventually get Switzerland to comply. Let's not forget that Switzerland is also one of the banks of the world. I mean, it's there that most of the elite has stashed their money for centuries. So they're very powerful. As I said, I doubt that they will manage, even if, of course, the threat is there. They want to take out Switzerland out of Schengen. And of course, they have tried for years to figure out a way of getting Switzerland in the EU. But I have followed the Swiss politics a little bit, and they are not interested in this rubbish. Guys, I mean, the EU is only for losers. And I think that, sincerely, David, these are the last elections of the EU, because after this, either there is a radical change in the whole system, or either I think everybody will go back to their sovereign states. But of course, that will not be possible for the New World Order that wants to implement these continent states, this big continent which have no sovereignty or no nations that are sovereign. So I think in the end, we're going towards a time of great turmoil in Europe after these elections, unfortunately.
Yeah, and that's why they're talking about a stable strategic order. And that's why there are so many of these bankers there. There's so many members of the press from the United States and from Europe. About a third of the people that are there from the United States or North America. The other two-thirds are from Europe. I noticed an amazingly large number, I thought, for compared to the size of the country, a lot of people from Poland. I think they're very concerned about what's going on in Poland. And so I think they're meeting, just like you're talking about, the Italian representative that's not represented. It doesn't represent anybody. Well, but the Italian guy who's there, they're trying to find alliances with press and with politicians in Italy and Poland and other places to try to push back against this nationalist movement.
Yeah, well, I mean, Poland is one of those places, like Hungary, from Eastern Europe that they have let in the Union, that is not complying with their rules and regulations on immigration, because they know that they will completely destroy their Christian society. We have seen how in the 70s, gradually, the Catholic side of Polish society came out when they had to break through from this oppressive force that was communist Russia. And in the end, with Solidarność, they actually functioned together with the Vatican to destroy the whole Eastern European setup. And of course, John Paul II was also instrumental in all this. And now Poland is not really wanting to join this socialistic nightmare, because they come from a social. I mean, these countries like Hungary, Poland, but even Romania don't really want to go back to socialism and communism. I mean,
yeah, because the people that were suffered under socialism and communism are still alive. They still remember that.
Yeah.
They can succeed in places where there is no understanding of what it's like to live under that system. When I was growing up in Florida, we had a lot of people who were Cuban refugees. Boy, they were adamantly against communism. But now, as generations go on, oh, they're, you know, going to embrace Alexandria Ocasional Cortex. Absolutely no problem. One of the other people I see that's there, which I think is kind of interesting, Leo, is Ursula von der Leyen of Deutschland. She is the Minister of Defense. And, of course, when we had Brexit come around, the election come around in 2016, as the Leave people were saying, they said, look, they're setting up a European army. And they said, that's a conspiracy theory. There's no plan on doing that. Immediately after they had the election, they started talking about it. And, of course, she has pushed this as an absolute necessity, the EU army, and just many times in the last year.
Well, they have pushed for many years EURGENTFOR, which is the European police force, but that's not enough. They need now a European army to oppress the people. We have noticed during the Yellow Vest insurrections in France, those tanks that came in with EU logos on top of them. And so we know where they are going with all this. They want to install an army that is not obeying to the sovereign states that are part of the EU. You showed Matteo Salvini winning. Matteo Salvini is definitely one of the leaders of the EU. But as I said at the start of the show, he also needs people that are very prepared economically to change the whole paradigm of this European Union. And Antonio Maria Rinaldi is one of these people that, in fact, is working together with Salvini. And I want to announce that in July, when I'm going to be visiting you in the studios in Austin, I will bring with me a gift that was presented by Antonio Maria Rinaldi, so and also by me to the Italian media, which is this handcrafted gold bottle that was made for Trump's inauguration, that was also celebrated in Italy. We were the only country, aside from the U.S., celebrating this inauguration, so we're very proud of it, and we're very proud of giving it to Alex and to InfoWars as a gift.
Oh, we really look forward to seeing that. That's going to be great. Yeah, they're going to need, as you pointed out, they're going to need to have this European army, because as we saw in Catalonia, the local police there didn't want to beat up their own people. The Spaniards had no problem beating up the Catalonians, and that's why they need to have a European army, so that they can pit different ethnic groups against others, because they're very worried about a stable strategic order and what's next for Europe, as they point out. Thank you so much, Leo Zagami. You can find him at leozagami.com. Thank you for joining us, Leo, and thank you for listening, everybody.